today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we are involved now in a series on the issue of judging and passing judging upon other people. Is that right? Is that wrong? Last week, we opened this topic by defining the different concepts of judging just so that we understand where we're coming from. And in the same word used in different contexts gives us different meaning, depending on what the context is.
Yeah, one place we're told not to, and other places we're told to.
Absolutely.
So that could be confusing.
Now we want to look at what kind of judgment Christ actually prohibits. So if we're going to say, well, you're not supposed to judge, well, maybe we should make sure that we're saying that with an understanding of what Christ actually means when he says, don't judge. So we want to delve into scripturally. What does it mean to actually not judge?
And I think it's important because we mentioned this last week, but the first response you'll get from people when you disagree with someone or you call error into account is, well, we're not supposed to judge.
Right.
And so we want to kind of get to a scriptural approach on that.
Absolutely. And there's three things that we want to kind of walk us through this. One is conceit, there's comparison, and then there's condemnation.
Right. These are sort of the three concepts that go with what Christ prohibits, and I think will help us understand.
So just to kind of jump in here, first one, conceit.
Right. And a conceit, I mean, just to give a little definition, it's an excessive or overly high opinion of ourselves, which Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12 when he says that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We can have a too high opinion of our talents and abilities.
Right.
We can certainly have too high opinion of our spirituality and our Christian virtues.
Right. So this idea that it's an overly high opinion of yourself, I think it's interesting because you and I were talking about it before we came on. There's Matthew 7, which is in the context and speaks of the context of the Pharisees, which Matthew 7 is what we often go to when we're talking about this issue of judging.
The one people like. Yes.
Right, and the people that love. But there, if we look at this in the context of the Pharisees and their view of religion and righteousness, it really came down to is about what you do.
Right.
And this is what was pushing and driving them. And this idea of conceit that they were better than everyone. And
right.
And Jesus finds himself communicating with these people.
Exactly.
And engaging with these people and having to deal with this.
And with those who were under their teaching.
Right.
Yes.
So how does he deal with them?
Well, first he talks about the perspective of conceit. And the perspective is simply this. It's a selfish perspective. It's a self-centered, it's a me perspective. The Pharisees had developed a means of doing good, put that in quotations, that served their purposes.
They had developed a system.
A system.
They had developed by very much, or I should say, with a lot of painstaking methodology that they come up with. They had developed a methodology that allowed them to be who they were.
Books
and to be better than everyone.
Of rules.
Right.
But they weren't from Scripture.
To the point it would be
later.
Overwhelming to us today if we were actually trying to think about it.
Right. And that's why the term Pharisaical is used. Even people who don't know the Bible
right.
use that term, but that's where it comes from. Now, we want to be sure when we use the term, that's what we're talking about. But nevertheless, they were so good at it, and it was so prevalent in that day, that that's come to be sort of a colloquialism.
So if this is the perspective that's driving the Pharisees, that's even driving an individual today, when
yeah.
they're full of conceit, it's about them, it's about what yeah. they can come up, their way is better than everybody else's.
Right.
What's causing this perspective?
Well, I think we see next the presumption of conceit. And there's a presumptuous outlook, a presumptuous approach to others, to God, to the Word of God, to anything that has to do with spirituality,
but
religion.
But it can be very subtle, I think. I don't want it to just make it sound like that, well, that's not me, I can step out of this. Because I think a lot of times, if we have truth that is truth, we can be very conceited about that. We're not gracious, we're not humble, we're not willing to engage with someone and discuss it
right.
on a humble level.
Right, and if we're not careful, we'll do what the Pharisees did, is they took the place of God.
Mm-hmm.
That was
the presumption. Which I think is the key.
The presumption was that their system superseded Scripture. So you have this sort of spiritual conceitedness.
Okay, so we're looking at Matthew 7, and we've got this idea of the Pharisees and their conceit, and this is the context that we find of what Jesus is talking about, and what Christ is prohibiting when it comes to judging and judging others. But then there's this idea of comparison.
Right, and I think conceit, pride, too high an opinion of ourselves, will lead to comparison. And there's a couple of things I think we can notice about comparison, because it's a natural human tendency,
right,
to compare. We've all heard people want to keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
If the neighbor paves his driveway, we might want to pave ours. If he cuts his grass a certain time, a certain way, we'll keep it. Ours looking good, or our siding's not looking so good. Those kinds of things, and that can be as a result of pride too. But in the church, in the Christian community, in the religious community, there can be this natural tendency for me to compare my Christianity, my daily living, my spirituality with my brothers and sisters.
Well, unless our audience is not familiar with Matthew 7, we're talking about where Christ is saying dealing with the log that is in your own eye as right. opposed to the speck that is in your brother's eye.
When he says, do not judge, lest you be judged. Right. And when he says, because the way you judge, you will be judged.
Right.
And by the way, I think he's not just talking about other people will judge you the way you judge, although that may be true. I think he's thinking in terms of eternity.
Yeah.
If we are judgmental here, we'll be judged with the same kind of measure in eternity. But then he goes on to say...
That's absolute, though. That will happen.
Yes.
We're going to be judged according to everything that we've done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then, but why, he asked, do you look at the splinter or the small speck in your
That's
brother's
hardly
eye?
Noticeable.
Yeah.
But you
and look
you
right
see it.
Past, do yeah. not consider, and the word there is not just look at, but do not consider, give thought to, consideration to the log, the rock that's in your own eye.
Anyone who's been in church life, in the local church, and invested in the local church any amount of time doesn't have to go very long before they realize there's a lot of comparison that can take place.
And it's a natural tendency.
Right.
That's why we have to guard against it. So, I think that's why Jesus brings this out.
Well, I think it's easy because it's almost as if that log is standing right in front of us and we don't see it.
Right.
Maybe it's just to the peripheral. You know what I'm saying? Right. We're not quite seeing that, and we're just looking straight ahead at everyone else's problem.
Well, a camera works that way. Our eye works that way. If there's something just beyond you and I look at it, well, you become blurred to me. You're larger than it, but the object on the other side that I'm looking at right now is clear to me, while you're sort of off to the side.
Right.
That can,
but it's still very much there.
With the old lenses,
right,
when you had to focus the lens, set the f-stop and all that, you set the stop to focus on something at a certain spot. The other stuff closer was blurred. That's spiritually true. If we focus on something, one thing, we will not look so closely at the other, and that's certainly true of our own sin.
But I think at the root of this, when we're talking about this whole issue of comparison, is it's not that we would be worse, but be better than everybody else. That's why we're doing this. We make everybody else look worse and ourselves look better.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah. And that's the root of it. We got to get down to that.
Which leads us to, and this is not hyperbole,
right?
But it's really a spiritual tragedy.
Right.
And I say that because Jesus says, you hypocrite.
You are a bunch of hypocrites.
You hypocrite. You will look. First, you ought to notice and consider the large fault, the large rock, or the large log that's in your own eye. And then you can see to deal with your brother's speck.
Well, and looking at the context of, again, the Pharisees, first of all, they must have been totally, ticked off, at Jesus, because he's just, they cannot, what is this guy doing?
Well, he's revealing their hearts.
Right, and yeah. So they're not
Who
happy,
likes that?
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I think here, it's hypocritical for us to measure others by what we think is our standard of spirituality, and mm-hmm. that's what the Pharisees were
Which
doing.
We're pretty comfortable with.
Right. So we, instead of developing our standard of spirituality according to the scriptures, mm-hmm. it's one that we've developed for ourselves. And you and I have seen this in many people. We've been in movements and organizations where this happened.
Right.
And it was that's what became the end in and of itself.
Yeah, it can get down to where the Piccadillo can become a certain kind of pants and another kind of pants, or right. a certain kind of shirt and another kind
or
of shirt.
Or do I wash dishes on Sunday, or do I not wash dishes right. on Sunday? And it's like, really?
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a, it's a, Jesus, well, I say Jesus, Paul referred to this in 2 Corinthians 10:12. He was actually talking about himself and the apostles and those who worked with him. But this whole idea of comparison, when he said, for we dare not compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves with one another and compare themselves with one another, they're without understanding. They are unwise.
So in other words, that's why you have your own measure of spirituality, because maybe you don't quite understand the scriptures you read.
Right. Your whole perspective is skewed,
right.
and you have allowed this natural tendency to rule in your life instead of having a scriptural point of view in this whole thing.
Okay, so it's motivated by conceit, by pride. It's then shown forth in this comparison among right. each other. So that's the example that we have before us, or us. We are right. the example.
Right.
But finally, there's the condemnation that takes place.
And this is the natural result of the other two. There's a progression here.
Yeah.
And condemnation happens. The question comes, how do we know if we are being judgmental in the prohibited sense?
Right.
And so we got three...
Which is the ultimate question we're trying to answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three cautions. I'm not saying these are the only things, but three cautions, and we just want to walk through those. First, we know we're being condemnatory when we assume a position of superiority. Mm. James talked about that when he said, brothers, do not judge or think speak evil of one another. For he who speaks evil of his brother judges his brother, and speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you who judges another? There you go. We go back. There's one God. There's one lawgiver. He's the one who has that authority. So when we assume that position of superiority, David did that
mm-hmm.
in 2 Samuel chapter yeah. Chapter 12, I think it is, that and Nathan came to him describing this horrible situation where this man had taken another man's lamb and he had taken advantage of him, and David got angry. And so that man should be put to death. He's yeah. worthy of death. Nathan said, you're the man.
Boom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nathan's, and David knew it then. But the problem was he had this superior attitude because he was guilty of the same thing.
Right.
But then there's this whole thing of when we apply an unscriptural standard.
Which we touched on just already a little bit.
We did.
Right.
We see that in Romans when Paul is talking to the Jewish and Gentile believers, and some were talking about the kind of meat they bought in the marketplace, had it been offered to idols. And some of the people said, who cares if it's offered to idols? I don't worship idols. And some right. said, well, it's been offered to idols. It's unclean.
Right.
And Paul's saying that's not a scriptural standard. And so... you know, when we, that's what the Pharisees did. They had the Mishnah, and they had all these commentaries and things that written down that was their idea of how you obey the law. That's
they
why
they basically developed a bunch of unscriptural standards.
They did, and that's why Jesus would say, you have heard that it has been said, but I say to you, he would use the adversative to turn the argument and say, I don't care what you heard if it's not in Scripture.
Wow.
This is what the Scripture says.
Yeah.
This is what the Scripture teaches. And I'm going to give you God's interpretation of it.
And he's really turning their thinking, the Jewish people's thinking, upside down. And he's going against the leaders that they've been so have been following these many years.
Yes, prevailing spiritual
He's radically
opinion.
Changing the thinking.
Exactly, exactly. And then the other caution is we need to watch, because we could be avoiding the responsibility to restore.
Which I think is huge.
If we are not interested in restoration, then we're judging. And it doesn't matter how accurate we are. Jesus said, first remove the big log, the big rock or whatever, out of your eye, and then you will be seeing clearly how to help your brother.
So in other words, our first responsibility is us. And when I mean us, I mean me.
Right.
And then your responsibility is you.
If I see a problem with you, And I'm praying for you about that problem. I need to pray for myself as well. Say, right. Lord, how is there a way I...
Not that we don't address sin.
Exactly.
But if we're going to address sin, we need to be addressing it in our own lives as well.
That's exactly right. That's why in Galatians, Paul said, if you see a brother, brothers, if you see someone overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, that assumes that we have these attitudes right. And that restore such one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So the whole thing is, if you walk through these, this is not necessarily a complete compendium of how to avoid judging, but it is a biblical approach to walk through so that we know that our attitude is right.
Our first responsibility is our own.
Is me. That's right.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but yes. I think we've been able to talk and get these things out, and we pray the Lord will help us to develop these as we continue to grow week upon week, month upon month. So, well, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or even send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.